Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hey folks, yes, this is Quick Take. I'm Michael Steele. Welcome to this new feature of the Michael Steele Podcast, where you get a quick take on the latest, hottest, craziest thing in culture, politics, whatever's going on. We're going to do a quick take on it. And I can't think of anyone better to help launch this new feature than the guy who has made a history of showing up where you would least expect him to be welcomed. That's none other than Rick Unger. He's a progressive who's made his mark in radio and television. He's just been a phenomenal guy. This, I like to brag, this is the guy the House of Marvel was built by. Trust me, this brother has had his hands in it. We spent 4 years together as Steele and Unger, which really was Unger and Steele. I was just kind of carrying his luggage most of the time. But I love Rick coming on and doing this quick take with us. Rick.
Michael.
Welcome.
By the way, can I translate all that?
Yeah.
That was Michael's way of saying, it's the first episode. It's all going to go wrong. Let's burn Unger.
Yeah, that kind of was it.
Yeah, it kind of worked.
It's great having you on, man. This is absolutely awesome. And we're going to, of course, this is going to be an opportunity to get you back to do a full-blown podcast with us. But let's do this quick take on Super Tuesday.
I heard something about that.
It was like crazy. The Democrats must have learned something from 2016 because whatever they learned, it all showed up last night for Joe Biden and the Democrats. What's your quick take on that?
Well, I'll tell you what. The only Democrats that I look at and say they learned something was the Democrats throughout this country who actually apparently tuned in. You know how I feel about this. I don't think people really pay attention.
No, they don't.
And I think that that's always been a big part of our country's problem. People just won't bother. They bothered. They bothered. Following South Carolina, people had to have tuned in and started seriously thinking about it. I, you know, this is historic, man, and that's not hyperbole. We have seen a John McCain come back from the political dead and end up with the nomination of his party. But that was a slow climb that actually began, ironically, in South Carolina.
Yeah.
But we have never seen an entire race completely flip over in 48 to 72 hours. It's unprecedented.
And what was fascinating to me, I ran into Representative James Clyburn today, and
there's a man who's going to have a statue.
Not only a statue, I mean, Democrats are going to be naming their children after him when it's all said and done, because the singular act a week ago Wednesday of coming out and saying, I'm with Joe Biden, given where Biden was, the floundering of his campaign, the sheer incompetence from a political operative standpoint up to that point in the campaign of not positioning this man as the former vice president and the erstwhile front runner in such a way that he could carry that mantle and do something with it. But for that moment where Clyburn comes out, to your point, this is a different race. Tuesday night, I mean, you know, the Bernie bros had this thing all scaled out.
As we can understand why.
Bernie was counting the delicate sheeps out of California and elsewhere. They figured they'd take a hit in a few spots in South Carolina, but Massachusetts? How the hell do they lose Massachusetts?
I'm telling you. So listen, I know this is your podcast, but I can't help myself, right? I got to ask you a question.
Sure.
Should we be looking for Congressman Clyburn to become the Democratic vice presidential nominee?
It's a good question. I don't think so. Number one, I don't think that's Clyburn's role. I mean, in terms of how he's moved and positioned himself. He'd be honored by it, and he probably would think about it if asked or at least considered. But I think for him, that was not his end game. I think the Democrats are going to find themselves in an interesting little pickle, because the reality for them is the black vote writ large, but specifically the black female vote, is making all the difference on the ground. Now, okay, primary is one thing. General something else when you start throwing in Republicans and independents and all other kinds of political creatures. A lot of that vote may get absorbed or offset. In other cases, it may have an impact. We don't know. I think there's going to be an enormous amount of pressure for him to pick a black woman to sort of applaud and say thank you to the black community. I don't play that game. I don't do that kind of identity politics,
right?
Because at the end of the day, as a presidential candidate, you have to make a lot of choices in that regard. And one of them has to be, if something happens to me, particularly given his age, does this person step into the role of president? Does America look at this person as a president?
Critical.
And that's going to be critical. It's just not enough to put a black face up or a female face up and think that the American people are going to check out on that. No, they're going to check in, and they're going to ask a hard question, is your vice presidential nominee qualified? Now, they're capable, qualified people for sure, but they're still going to have to, you know, go through that scrutiny of the voters. And I don't think the bulk voters are going to play that sort of racial male versus female game the way it happens inside of a political process.
I think you've actually got that exactly right. I think you're absolutely right. There will be pressure, certainly, for him to choose an African American, and there'll be more pressure to choose a woman. Everybody instantly goes to two names, Kamala Harris and Stacey Abrams.
Right.
I think, given the reality of Joe Biden's age, Stacey Abrams will make voters nervous. She's a brilliant woman. She's very capable, but they just don't know her. They just don't know her. And the problem with Kamala Harris, I just got to say it, she's not very popular in the black community.
Right. And I think that's, you know, and that was obvious about, you know, with her run, because there was not a gravitational pull towards her.
Right.
And so, you know, I was out on a limb a year ago, and I'm going to stay on that limb until I saw it off or someone else does.
Dude, you were born out on that limb.
I swear. I said a year ago, the Democratic ticket ought to be, and I've now moved into the should be category, Joe Biden, Amy Klobuchar. That's
interesting.
That's what I said a year ago. I'm sticking by those guns. There are a whole host of reasons for that. There are a lot of boxes that are checked. Yes, not the black female box. I get it. But I think in this moment in time, when you're trying to move the country off of Trump, and there is this sort of gravitational pull towards him, you've got to figure out how you pull that space back in your favor. Race is not the way to do it. It is bread and butter who can speak to the heartland of the country. Klobuchar has shown she can do that.
Yeah.
She is, and I don't want anybody to get all freaked out and acting stupid, but she is in this sense a Sarah Palin style figure who connects, and that's what I'm going on the ability to connect to people in that particular role. I mean, say whatever you want about a Sarah Palin, you cannot discount her ability to connect with people, at least initially in her campaign. Now, I think what you have with Amy is a lot more gravitas coming into the game. Seasoned, prosecutor, a seasoned U.S. senator, et cetera. So she's coming in at a different level. But I'm talking about strictly along that line of connecting a candidate, in the case of Sarah Palin, like John McCain, who couldn't really feed the base, Rick, of the Republican base at that time the way your typical top of the ticket would. She helped with that. And I think with Amy, you'll have Joe, who will, you know, be that point for the black community for sure. But you're going to need to pull that white suburban vote from Donald Trump up the middle of the country, and I think she can help there.
So I'm going to make this maiden podcast really boring because I'm going to agree with you again. I mean, we're supposed to be fighting, I suppose. But you know
it
what?
It says here in your bio, you fight with everybody you talk to.
Everybody, right. So but you got it right because Amy Klobuchar, I like the comparison between her and Sarah Palin as a politician. The difference, of course, being Amy Klobuchar has a real brain and she actually knows things and she's done a lot of things. Other than that, they're the same person, right? But she would be an excellent vice president. Number one, they do like her very much in that upper Midwest section that is so critical. Yeah. And maybe more importantly, let's face it, these people, no matter who ends up with the Democratic nomination, and we know who's got the Republican nomination, they are all older than the hills. My goodness, they're older than me. And
they
that
are.
Is
and
old,
that's saying
right?
Something. That's
yeah.
Old,
so
old.
So whoever the vice presidential nominee is really going to matter to people. And I can't think of anybody better either than Amy Klobuchar. If I'm looking at this ticket and saying, all right, if God forbid the vice president has to step in, show me somebody better qualified to do it than Amy Klobuchar. So I got to agree with you on that. My only question would be, would the black community feel slighted?
Some will. There's no doubt some will. And it will be. I've already heard some rumblings, even on air, with some of the talking heads saying, you know, well, Biden's going to owe his turnaround to the black community. And the way he does that, I think he repays that is by winning and bringing to the table the things that he articulates, you know, and that he stands for.
That's right. I think that's right. I hope people would be sensible. This is not the time maybe to play identity politics. And I think that it's going to be crystal clear to the African-American community that Joe Biden is not going to forget who put him there if he ends up there.
All right. So here, as we wrap up this quick take, what is your, as you look into the mini Super Tuesdays that are coming up in the next couple of weeks, how do you see this thing playing out for Joe Biden? And more importantly, does Bernie back down or does he grind into it?
Oh, I don't think there's any question that he grinds into it. You know, one thing I think people have to be careful about, it was a shockingly huge day for Joe Biden yesterday, but this is far from over. We are like, I don't know, I'd say in the fourth inning of a 9-inning baseball game. There is a lot more to come. Neither of them can afford to take their foot off the pedal. We've got some really important races coming up. We got Michigan coming up. Bernie should be looking to do well there. Can Joe Biden do in Michigan what he did in Texas, which I'm still stunned by? You know, there are a lot of these states coming up, and then we never even talk about those states where the delegates are chosen by a state convention. Who's going to go into those with an edge? There is a lot more to play out here. Bernie Sanders will never give it up. What's going to be fascinating, Michael, is we could still very much end up at a convention that has to be a brokered convention. What if Joe Biden, instead of Bernie Sanders, ends up going into that convention with a plurality? Are the Sanders people still going to say, hey, if you have a plurality, you should win?
Well, that will be interesting. And I look forward to that one because that's a flip on the current script because everyone thinks it's going to be the other way around. I think you're right. It's going to backdoor the other way. Potentially, I see the Democrats, given the way they've consolidated, locking this thing down. I think they want this over by April. There's going to be an enormous amount of pressure already building on Elizabeth Warren to check out. She probably will. We'll side with Bernie. It'll set up a classic, you know, ideological battle.
Isn't it what we were looking for?
Well, yeah, kind of. Ideological battle within the party. But here's the rub. This is not a campaign nor a race about ideology. This is about moving off of crazy. And the American people are looking for a Democratic Party that's able to do that. We'll have the ideological fights on the other side. I know this for a fact. A whole lot of people who like Michael Steele and his ilk now because we're not down with Trump are going to be kicking us in the ass when we start talking about healthcare policy and environmental policy.
Oh, come on, you've come a long way
taxes.
On healthcare policy.
Oh, come,
give yourself some credit.
I've come around, but I ain't buying all this free shit. So y'all gonna stack that over in the corner.
Really? I mean, should we have free tests right now for coronavirus?
At $3 million a pop? Yeah.
I mean, seriously, do you want somebody walking around where you live who couldn't afford to go in and get the test? I don't.
Well, look, that's a discussion for the next quick take.
I wanted to leave you thinking.
You did. Rick Unger, thanks, baby, for your quick take.
Always fun.
We'll catch you guys later.
Thanks for listening to this quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Now, we're going to have another full episode coming at you soon. But in the meantime, you can go to Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating. Why not? Help a brother out, right? Or you can listen on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcast on. Catch you later, folks.
Your local Health Mart pharmacy is putting the personal care back in healthcare. We know you by name, not by refill number. Visit healthmart.com for the location near you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.